Blog Talk Radio.
Unleash the freshness.
Of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we have an interview with Terra Strength Unplugged. Tonight, we'll be talking about multiple topics from spirituality to violence in America. Before we begin, I want to say thank you to everyone for supporting my show. I want to thank the WBNN family for all of their support I received from you, and it truly means a lot to me. And a special shout-out to Brother O for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. Tonight, we begin with a quote by Maya Angelou. The question is not how to survive, but how to thrive with passion, compassion, humor, and style. Tonight I'm interviewing Mr. Terrence Strength. We always have very in-depth conversations, and we're going to share our conversation with you tonight. Terrence, are you there?
I think, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Mo. I'm excited about being on the show with you, to get into it with you a little bit.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we are. I guess we'll just start off and just take it from there. I guess I want to know, you're very spiritually evolved, and I'd like to know for you to share with our guests, share with our listeners, how did you get there? You know my story. I'll share it with the audience for a brief moment. As for me, I was abused in the name of Christianity. I became very angry with myself and with God. I didn't believe at all that I was loved. I prayed and abuse continued. I always wondered why God never showed up like he did on television. So I had to search for God because he wasn't at my church. I read a lot of spiritual books, religious ones, not so much, but definitely spiritual. I read the Dalai Lama. I read Gary Zukav, Alberto Villaldo, the Shaman Healer Sage. I saw a shaman. I studied Reiki along the way, but mostly I read books. So how did you get there, Terry?
Well, Mo, first of all, I'm not sure how evolved I really am. That's the first thing. I mean, that question is just a very funny question for me. But I do know that there are things I definitely care about, such as my spiritual expansion, my purpose, and the belief that we are spiritual beings having an earthly experience.
Right.
And I guess, you know, I've gone through challenges just like everybody else has. But I guess for me, it started by trying to honestly admit that my life wasn't working the way I wanted to and consciously deciding to put in the work that I needed to help it to work better. I just,
right.
You know, for me, it was a big, big deal to try to learn what was going on so that I can get some control over what was going on in my life because, you know, I honestly, I had no clue. And so luckily, you know, I had some teaching and some training that put me in a space to where I could use it and take that knowledge and learn how to apply it. So I feel I've been very fortunate to run across some people who encouraged me to go down the rabbit hole, so as to speak. And that's pretty much my story. Instead of me saying no and running and going left, I decided to go right and head towards that direction. And it has really been an interesting ride. And, of course, I'm still a work in progress, like everybody else.
Everybody is. You reminded me, yes, I went through an eight-year period where I did nothing but read books. I didn't watch television. I didn't read the newspaper. I didn't surround myself with anything negative people, nothing, for 8 years. No relationships, nothing. I just worked on me. So I can understand. I don't think you went that drastic, but I did. I had to just for my own well-being. But it's nice to know that we were on the same path that way.
You know what? To me, it sounds like you're the one that's very spiritually evolved because...
No.
Most people do not go down that path. You know, they honestly do not believe that they need to have that type of commitment and dedication to their own healing. I mean, they just
right.
really don't believe that. That's a big reason. I feel it's a big reason why we have a lot of the drama in our lives that we do. So to me, it sounds like you're the one that's very spiritually evolved. That's what it sounds like to me, because that takes great courage, that takes great discipline and dedication, and many, many people do not see a need to do that. So
I think most of us are afraid of being alone. Thank you. I think a lot of us are afraid of being alone. I had to confront that in myself when I was journeying to heal myself. I had to realize I have to be okay with myself. I have to love myself, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, I totally understand. You're totally right. Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. Wow, that's impressive. Definitely impressive.
Okay. I have another question for you. So basically, in your opinion, what is the spiritual meaning of abuse? For my audience, I want to define abuse. The signs of abuse might be subtle at first, but they'll be there. Soon there will be a clear cycle of abuse, but you may not recognize it for what it is and what it looks like. So basically, there'll be rising tension. You'll feel it. You'll tread carefully, walking around on eggshells around this person, scared to say or do anything wrong. And then the abuse will happen. And there will be a honeymoon period where the blame will be shifted to themselves or to you. And then they do it again and again and again after they promise that they'll never do it again. So based upon that, I wanted to know your opinion of abuse. What is abuse in a spiritual meaning?
Okay, so for me, the spiritual meaning of abuse is a disconnection from source, a lack of acknowledgement or manifestation of an extreme need for healing. Or we need to learn to love ourselves more, because if you start abusing, then that shows how unevolved you are. So obviously
right.
We have children that are abused, and obviously they're victims. From a spiritual perspective, obviously in the physical world, we have to protect our children. That's obvious.
Right.
Understand that there are souls, they are small souls also. But when you talk about abuse, it is a disconnection from source. It's the person or people not recognizing that we're all one. We are
right.
one. So you're talking about high levels of fear. Usually the person was abused themselves. They experienced it, and now they're doing it. So there are many reasons, but basically at its core, that's what it is. It shows an extreme need for healing. And so as we heal ourselves, right, because we also can attract abuse into our experience. Because
right.
we haven't healed, we can attract more abuse, right? We haven't healed for it. As we raise our frequencies, then we tend to attract those things less. And so that
right.
whole energetic thing goes both ways. You know what I'm saying? But again, when it comes to children and things like that, obviously, I mean, we got to protect our children, and we can help. And we can help do that also by teaching them also. So yes, so that's what I see. To me, that's the spiritual meaning of abuse.
I agree with you. We do need to take some time out and see what it is. Sorry, and protect our children. But to find the essence of abuse the way that you just defined it is really important. What does it mean to truly love yourself? I think that loving yourself means to master yourself. Self-control is, to me, strength, calmness, and mastery. Dalai Lama once said, peace does not mean an absence of conflict. Differences will always be there. Therefore, I think it's the management of your impulses that we can know who we really are. I think he's talking about both internal and external conflicts. Most people refer to the external because they often don't realize at times that we have conflict within ourselves. And I guess racism would be an example of an internal conflict that you would have with yourself. I remember reading Iyanna Van Zandt's book, and she asked the question, would you marry you? And that was during my 8-year journey. Of healing, and I remember saying, no, I wouldn't marry me right now. I didn't love myself enough.
Right. Once again, Mo, you're a very honest person. Unfortunately, you know, many are not as honest as you are, and I will hope to be as honest as you are. But when I think about what it means to truly love yourself, I would say. And the Dalai Lama's definition was outstanding. I mean, it's the Dalai Lama. What do you expect? I would say moving, thinking, and relating in a way that honors yourself, and those around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that we are all one and we are all worthy of love. To me, that's what it means. Moving, thinking, and relating in a way that honors yourself and those around you. So if you truly love yourself, you're not going to let the little niece or nephew get abused or molested. Because of that love, you create an environment that is conducive to safety, security, and all that goes along with it. But unfortunately, many of us are in our own heads with our own conflicts and all the stuff that we're dealing with that causes us to lower our frequencies. So, and when that happens, any and everything happens. So to me, that's what it means to truly love yourself.
That's a great answer. That's absolutely a great answer. Well, on the topic of love, we can talk about relationships. Can you differentiate? Can you tell me the difference between a toxic relationship and a healthy relationship? I'll keep it simple. I think that toxic relationships are violent, both emotionally and physically. The abuser is typically self-centered and self-serving. What are your thoughts?
All right, so you're going to ask me to differentiate between toxic and healthy relationships.
Yes.
Okay. You know, Mo, you know I always have my own definitions of these things.
I know you do, I know.
All right, so to me, toxic relationships are all about you. They're all about you and your wants and your needs and what your partner can do for you. Basically, you know, self-centered and usually end up becoming competitive and not about love or expansion. And unfortunately, they usually recreate the dysfunctions of their parents unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what toxic relationships do. They create an environment for all of that, which usually does not end up filling or promoting or creating love between the two. But usually, eventually, it's going to be competitive. Whereas healthy relationships are the exact opposite, where you both are actively learning about your individual selves and are supporting each other in that process. As a result, you begin to consciously neutralize the dysfunction of the parents on both sides, and as a result, become more cooperative and loving, and the relationship becomes less superficial and more profound. Mm-hmm. To me, that is the difference between toxic relationships and healthy relationships. They are the exact opposite. Okay?
Right.
One of them, the healthy one, you move consciously towards doing the work. And you're going to hear me say this thing over and over again. You're going to hear me say this thing when it comes to interpersonal relationships. You're going to hear me say this thing, when we look at it from a macroscopic perspective on different ethnic groups and what they're dealing with, right? It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of us, we don't look at it. We don't look at our relationships as a way for us both to become better in it, to become a relationship where we grow and evolve and become better and honor each other. We don't look at it that way. Most of us come into it about what we're going to get and what can another person do for us. And that's why they're not successful. That's why divorce rates are so high. And many of us have the wrong intentions for getting in the, you know, we are, just like you said, you spent 8 years. Many of us don't want to be alone, and we don't want to do the work. So it makes us very risky in these relationships. And so that's why I talk about it the way I do. So that's my definition.
Thanks for that. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Now
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join your conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we're having an interview with Tara Strength on Plug. Tonight we'll be talking about multiple topics from spirituality to violence in America. Right now we're on relationships. So I guess my next question for you, Terrace, is what is the most crucial thing for a healthy relationship? Your partner. I was going to say your partner is important, but so are other people in your life. And if you act in a trustworthy way, you deserve to be trusted. We all get insecure now and again. Sometimes we could do with a little more loving reassurance. But when these questions and accusations and demands are consistent without reason, it will only be a matter of time before your movements are questioned and your friends are closed out. So basically, misplaced jealousy isn't love. It's lack of trust in you. Sometimes you meet a person and they're ready to move in way too soon. They get clingy. You met them for a few weeks and they're ready to move in. They get real clingy and territorial as a result of not having worked on their mommy and daddy issues. That said, I think boundaries are the most important. When I went through, I went through a lot to get my healthy relationship and boundaries, but also secondly, I think that you need emotional maturity. There's a difference between being mature in age and being mature in mind. I've been there and done that. What do you think?
Well, what's the most crucial thing for a healthy relationship? Well, I agree with you. I mean, certainly those, you know, to me, like that approach, and I get that approach, you know, dealing with each issue as they come up. But I just think that, and I definitely agree with everything that you said. You know, having healthy boundaries is important. You know, having trust, you know, again, it's about doing the work. But I think this is going to sound corny, but I believe that you need to consciously create an environment between you two that is progressive and expansive, which means creating a burning desire to do the work necessary to expand individually and as a couple. And if you're with someone and they don't want to do that, then that's probably not the right person for you. Either you find someone who's already doing that themselves, and the reason why I say that is because technically we're all here to be doing that in the first place. That's why we're here.
I agree.
So technically, by virtue that we're here in this realm, that's our first assignment. That assignment applies spiritually to everybody. So how in the world can we be in relationships and that not be at the forefront? I'm not saying it's all that we work on. Obviously, we want to live, but it's really all part of that financially, spiritually. It's really all connected. Because, you know, once both of the people, or the people in the relationship, agree to go down that path, what they're doing is they're giving themselves a better chance of having a great relationship. And
but don't
one
you think
that,
that's emotional maturity? Don't you think that's what I'm describing as emotional maturity? Because you can't have what you're talking about without emotional maturity, Tara. No?
Possibly. I mean, if the person has a – okay, so let's take your premise, Mo, and let's say the person is emotionally immature, right?
Okay.
I mean, the person could be at the place in their lives to where they're ready to grow up a little bit because things aren't working. So it doesn't mean that we're not capable of changing. We are all capable. The question is whether we decide to do it or not. But people can evolve. I mean, people can take the step. Listen, we were all immature, you know, in our early 20s, right? We got older. We grew. Some people never grow up, right? Part of our growth is a decision that we made to go down the rabbit hole, right? We made that decision, right? Both of us came out of churches. We both had individual experiences. We consider ourselves bright kids, right? but we still right. made a decision to want to learn more. And we were immature, right?
That's true.
We were immature, but you know, if you make a choice to learn more, that's going to help you. It can, that's going to help you to mature and grow up. It depends on what you're putting in your mind and what you're developing and valuing. So I'm not saying that you're wrong necessarily in what you're saying, but I'm not sure that that's the whole story when it comes to our progression. Many of us down here, we progress at different speeds. We have different stages. We have different stories and things, right? Some
yep.
are more powerful than others. So that has to be factored into it. I think what's important is that when we meet someone, we set the table in terms of, you know, what's important, you know, what is this relationship going to be about?
Exactly.
You know, and
we're saying that.
The other, you know, how do they see that process? And from there,
yeah.
you get a lot of information. You know, people may say one thing to start, but as you get into it, you see that's not the case. And so, therefore, you got to make some adjustments. You may have to go left or right. But if that's what's important to you and trying to stay in alignment with your purpose and who we are as spiritual beings, then you set that table. You know, you set that table. You may be with a person who's like, yeah, I think this is a bunch of hocus pocus, but I love Mo, right? I really love Mo, so I'm going to do it right now because I love Mo. And them deciding to do it only because they go down that rabbit hole and during that process, they begin to develop and expand. So they may start it out and like, this is all crazy, but I'm going to do it for her. It doesn't matter to her. And they get into it, it becomes a whole lot more, right? Isn't
right.
that how spirit works?
Yeah.
So because
yeah.
of that, I try to maintain an optimistic attitude with people because I understand that we are here to grow and evolve. It doesn't mean that we all do it at the clip that we should or whatever because we all have different stories and things, but that's why we're here. So that's why I said even though the person's immature, and it's not that you're wrong, but I just think that it's a deeper perspective when it comes to that. That's just my two cents.
No, but I think that you're describing emotional maturity. I think that a person has to have their spirit is a part of evolving. I think that you're taking it literally, and I mean it in a much more expansive way. Part of emotional maturity is to be able to see and have that foresight that you were just talking about, to set the table, to see someone's strengths and weaknesses and still love them and help them grow and evolve. You can't do that if you're not emotionally mature. You just simply can't do it. You don't have the tools.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not sure about that. I think you have some emotionally mature people out here who just don't see a need to go down a rabbit hole. Then what do you
okay,
do with that person?
Okay.
Their life is pretty ordered. They're pretty much doing what they want to do, and they're getting there anyway, you know, and they may not see need to do that. Then what do you do? And they could be fine. You can get along with them great, you know. Now, they may eventually run into something, right, eventually, but they may not see a need to go down that rabbit hole. They're just listening. Their attitude could be, you know what, this is what you want to do and this helps you, fine. You know, fine.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
All right, I see your point. All right, moving on to the next question. What is something that most people learn only after it's too late? What is something that most people learn only after it's too late? Personally, I wish I could tell my husband who passed in 2014 to love himself more. Loving yourself is not arrogance. It is going to the gym. It's eating healthy. It's reading books about spirituality and religion. Getting out of your comfort zone. It's important to do that. Because of my past abuse, I had to go beyond religion in a traditional sense. I think most of us spend time trying to control each other and trying to control our relationship and trying to control our family and things like that, that we don't learn it until it's too late. We try to control our bosses. We try to control our coworkers, and we just don't prioritize ourselves. So what do you think?
This is something that most people learn only after it's too late?
Yeah.
That's a very good question, and I see your point with your comments. I would have to say that I think what is something that most people learn only after it's too late, that they should have loved themselves and others more and told themselves.
Yeah.
And held on to grudges and slights a whole lot less, because in the end, it's not really worth it. I think that's what most people regret when that time comes.
I agree with you on that. I think we do hold on to grudges way too long. I think that's part of what we see in some people just hold on to it forever. I have an aunt who was talking to me. We had recently had someone pass in the family, and the first thing out of her mouth was, "I can't stand so-and-so." I said, "Well, when did you speak to her last?" 20 years ago. I mean, really? So I can understand what you're saying.
And you know what, Mo? Unfortunately, many of us leave here and create diseases within our bodies because we're holding on to grudges and slights.
Yes.
You know, we're holding on to grudges and slights that we hold on for 20 years and create illnesses in our bodies.
That's true.
But because we don't understand that, see, we're not able to reconcile that and understand what it's doing to us.
Right, the body, mind, spirit connection. We're not making that connection. That's true. That's why I started reading the book. Yeah.
Right. So because we don't make that connection, we don't know what it's doing to us. We don't know what it's doing to those around us. And because of that, we move in a way that is not conducive to our well-being or our spiritual well-being. And see, and that's the key. The key is, what are we learning? You know, what are we learning? Because when you learn something different, then you begin to hold on to these grudges and things like that a whole lot less. And you decide to tell people a whole lot more how much you love them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
It's all about how we reconcile the stuff that goes on down here. You know, I had a conversation with a young man today at my job who was saying that he suffered with bipolar disorder and everything. And I told him, I said, you know, we create, I told him, I said, all it is repressed anger. It's anger that you've been repressing for years from some family dynamic or situation that probably has not been resolved. And you don't know how to resolve it, and you're going to therapy, and they're constantly reminding you of it, and it's repressed anger.
Mm-hmm. I would dare.
And he was like,
rage.
You know what? Right. You know, he was like, "You're right." And so what happens is, many of us, we begin to identify with these labels that we really have because we're just mad as hell.
Right.
And once you identify with it, now it begins to manifest different things in your body and all of that. You know, it's us understanding that we're not our families, that we're spirit first. You know, we're not these circumstances that we found ourselves in. Understanding that and accepting that allows us to move in a way to circumvent these circumstances and then move out of them. And the focus and to move in a way to work on the reasons why we're here in the first place. So that's my whole feeling about that. You know, it's not worth it. But many of us don't know that. That's all we have. You know, righteous indignation. You know, you did this to me. You know, you slept with my dad and we had to break up our family and I'll never forgive you. Right? And mean it.
Right.
And cause heart attacks.
Yep.
Cause
high blood pressure, hypertension.
We cause all these things, and we think they happen randomly, but we're creating them because of where we are emotionally.
That's true. That I can say I've seen on both sides, spiritually, and then I've seen it also as a nurse. I will come right back to this. Track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Right now we have caller 1 in the queue. Caller 1, can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? Caller, are you there?
We'll come back to that caller right there. We're bringing caller number 2-1. Caller number 2, you're on the live one of the ads with Mo Garman and Breaking the Silence right here at WBNN.
Hi, Mo. It's Jerry Petito.
Hi, Jerry. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
How are you doing, Jerry?
Yep, I was just going to say hello to you, Terrence. I was listening to everything you were saying to her, and it resonated so much. I loved hearing what you were saying. I want to disagree with one little thing, and there's a reason why. You were right when you said about what therapy, you know, being in therapy, you just keep rehashing, unless you have the right therapist. When I went into therapy, you know, 30 years ago, I had the right therapist. She was a woman of God, and we never went over and over and over things. And, you know, she had me acknowledge what I needed to acknowledge and move on. And that's what I believe really helped me in the very, very beginning. And I would like to ask you if I could read a poem out of my book called Healthy Outlook.
Absolutely.
Okay, because that's where it begins, and what you guys were saying is so true, and it begins with a healthy outlook. So here we go. A healthy outlook begins with you. A life fulfilled is up to you, too. A healthy diet is where you start, but a healthy mind is the major part. Your thoughts are wired to make you think, but what you do can make you think. Keep all your thoughts uplifting and real. Feeding your mind crap destroys how you feel. Music is said to define who you are. The kind you are listening to really matters by far. Upbeat and positive are the notes you should hear. Nothing with violence or you'll live in fear. The music is a must for you to keep your joy, especially if it's Elvis, baby, because Elvis is my boy. I had to add that. But all kidding aside, our thoughts are wired. And what we feed ourselves mentally will make or break us. And music is supposed to be for healing. And if the right music is listened to, it do that. But I
Absolutely.
Love what you guys were talking about and saying, and you just make so much sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling
Thank
me. You. Jerry, before you go,
You're
can
welcome.
You tell us where you're... I wanted to mention, you mentioned about therapy. Before you go, I do want to make this comment. Therapists are only as good as they have healed themselves. So you must have met a therapist that was very healed.
Yes.
Very
yes,
healthy.
Right.
Okay. All right. I thought yes. so. Because if they're not healed, yes. they can't take you where they've never been.
And, you know, I wanted to say something on that real quick. I tell everyone, because I do a lot of health coaching as well, and I can help addicts and people who've had sicknesses because I healed myself from all that, right? And I tell everyone we all have a purpose. But if you're not healed, a lot of therapists aren't. And they think by going into becoming therapists, it will heal them, and that's a big mistake.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, sweetie.
That's a very good point, Jerry.
Yep. Yes, very true.
Jerry, when's your show?
So my next show, guys, is the 28th, Tuesday night, 9:30, and I have Terry King from the Drifters.
All
How about
right.
that? Okay?
Okay. We'll be sure to try this.
All right.
Thanks
love
so
you
much for your call. Love you, too. Take care.
You're welcome.
Jerry Petito is from Was he something else?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. All right, Paris, are you ready? You've been a lock and load now.
Let's get it, Mo.
All right. I'd like to know, what do you think about white Americans jumping to conclusions about black Americans?
What?
I know, right? I'm talking about
stereotypes. Oh, my God. Okay, so why do you think white Americans jump to conclusions about black Americans? Well, people jump to conclusions about a lot of things, generally. It's not
That's
just white
true.
Americans or black Americans. We jump to conclusions about white Americans, too. You know?
That's true.
But I will say this. You know, when outsiders of your group, and I'm speaking from a group perspective right now, and of course we're speaking in generalities right now, right?
None of this,
you know, we have outliers. We have many people that are evolved down here. So we're just speaking in generalities. I just want to say that.
Generic,
but,
right. That's true.
All right? But generally, when outsiders see hypocrisy in your actions and you are not accountable in areas that you should be accountable for, then outsiders are more inclined to have a view of you that may not be to your liking, but may have some merit. Now, my philosophy mirrors this just as it does in our interpersonal relationships, and I ask the same questions. What culture are we creating for our group when we create higher expectations for those outside the group than those on the inside of the group? And all I have to say about that is that we need to heal, family. We need to heal.
That's,
you know, that's like this whole Black Lives Matter thing that we hear buzzing around. You know, we're shooting ourselves. We're killing ourselves. But when somebody on the outside does it, and I hope their intention is to protect us and we end up getting shot, then we're marching and we're doing all these things. You know, we've been all our rage and anger on them. But we kill ourselves. I'm speaking as a group. I'm talking about the African-American community. Every group has their cross or burden to bear. Every group does, but I'm speaking specifically about us. And then we don't want to hear it, but we're not holding ourselves accountable for our group and what the group does. So we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites, Mo.
That's true. There's truth to every stereotype, you know.
Absolutely. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong to see it that way. But, you know, we get all bent out of shape. You know, they're always, you know, they did this and that. Listen, it doesn't matter about the history. It doesn't matter about how we got there. We know, we've talked about that over and over again about how we got there, right? We've talked about that. But it's the same game. It's the same game from a macroscopic perspective as it is at the microscopic perspective, right? That individually, we choose our parents, right? And they have all types of, but we chose them spiritually so that we could overcome them. So the game doesn't change. It doesn't change from a macroscopic perspective. It's the same game. And when we shun that responsibility, then we're not going to be taken seriously. And it's fair. You know, many may not want to hear me say that, but it's fair. We have to accept responsibility for ourselves and what we do and the decisions and choices that we make. We must accept responsibility because we're creating it. We're creating the circumstances. And then
just
when
like
we create something, we want, want somebody else to fix it for us, and we want to cry and whine about it, right?
Right.
So, you know, so this is, so for me, this is why learning how it works down here is so important, so that we can get this stuff right within ourselves and look at it differently. And be sympathetic where we need to be sympathetic, and empathetic where we need to be empathetic, right? And
well said.
instead of having misplaced anger and expecting somebody to save us, how the person that puts you in the situation is going to save you? But it's your responsibility to figure that out. It is ours, and that goes for us individually. So, you know, so yeah, you know, once we move down the path of healing. And doing what we got to do. We don't worry about what other people think about us. We don't worry about that.
That's true.
You know, I don't worry about what other people think about me, you know, especially the ones that I don't know. We don't worry about that because we're self-actualizing. We're creating the reality that we want as a group. And we are focused on doing that because you've healed or you're in the process of healing, you're in the space to empower yourselves, then you worry about all that nonsense less. That's all I'm saying. I didn't mean to go on, but
that's
all about it.
Right now we have caller 2 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Sure. Hello, Mo Garman. I'm calling from Atlantic City, New Jersey. How are you? This is Ava Holly.
Hi, Ava. How are you?
How are you? I'm so enjoying your show. Hello, Terrace. How are you guys doing tonight?
How you doing, Ms. Holly?
I am doing good. Always a little tired this time of night. I'm dealing with a health issue that we're trying to regulate. However, I wanted to make sure I called in to support you, and I love your topic. I love your comments about mindset because, you know, and it's not the easiest thing in the world because even when you're working on your own mind, you have the people around you. What do they say? Surround yourself with the right people. You've got people you love around you that don't share the same mindset. And when you're working on your own mindset, it's hard to, you know, explore that. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I did that for 8 years. I had to detach from people, and I had to reattach later when I was healthier. And they treated me differently because of that.
I think that's one of the hardest things to do, you know, and some people will climb on board, but others won't, and you have to learn how to let go, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying your show. Love you guys. And, you know, just wanted to call in and say hey.
Tell us when your next show is.
My next show is July 6th, Wednesday.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for the little plug. Enjoy listening to your show and have a good rest of your evening.
You too.
All right, thank you.
We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller 3 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Mr. Maurice White calling from downtown Nashville. I had to hurry pull over because between this music that Hall of Fame 4 times is playing and this interview, I just had a lovely couple just doing labor in the back seat here. Okay. Boy, man, y'all are getting it in, boy, I'm telling you.
Hooney.
You are so funny, Hooney.
Hey, but you see, you think I'm Hooney. Y'all don't think I'm Maurice White, huh? Y'all don't think I'm Maurice White, huh?
No.
I think it's Maurice White.
See, to the Hall of Fame nominated class of 22, he knows we got special guests that are pressed at one. But look, hey, I hate to interrupt this, but I'm calling you from the Titan Stadium. I got a very special announcement. Bob, do you mind making this a very special announcement?
No.
Here go Bob. Congratulations, Mo Garman, on your WBNN All Times Connection record with your 4th all-time with the historic Dolly Lodge Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer.
Wow, thank you so much. What an honor.
You're welcome. Hey, it had to happen. We got two of our greatest, it had to happen now, so I'm going to put it on pause. Enjoy it along with the rest of the attentive listening audience, okay? Love y'all both.
Okay. Thanks, Hooney. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Hooney.
That's funny. Yes, it is. Okay, Terrence, you have many shows that focus on relationships. Can you explain what the strength dating system is and why it was developed?
You want to talk about the strength dating system that I talked about at lunch?
Well, some of us might have missed it.
true. All right, so the strength dating system is a system that I created probably about 2 years ago that focused on developing us by way of psychology, by way of history, and by way of spirituality. And by incorporating all the, many, if not all, the metaphysical tools that are down here in order to increase the awareness of both parties, right? To increase your awareness of yourself, to make sure to help you to understand your partner, right? And as a way of honoring each other, right? So let's say I'm African-American and my wife is Filipino. So under the strength dating system, not only do I learn about my history and find out where I come from and what contributions my group have made to the world, right, I also begin to delve psychologically to understand my relationship with my own parents and my family and where I fit in and things I didn't care about versus things I really loved. And then to move spiritually to understanding how we connect the dots and the higher purpose in each of our lives. And so because I understand that about me, I understand that my wife needs to understand, she needs to understand that. I need to be able to understand her, right? So I do a study, if she's Filipino, I do a study on Filipino culture and learn all I can about where she comes from and what she's about and what contributions her group has made and all those things. And so the hope is it helps us move towards honoring each other, right? Because if I'm taking the time to learn about you, it's a way of me honoring you, right? And if I'm trying to take care of myself psychologically, I understand and can support you trying to do the same if you see a need to do that, obviously, right? So the goal is to move with each other in a way where we're honoring each other. And as a result, we become more cooperative and less competitive, right, because we're learning more about all this stuff, and we're learning about who we are. And we put our expansion above this relationship, right? So it doesn't mean that this is going to neutralize our relationship. Actually, it's going to help the relationship because we have our priorities together, right? I don't expect
right.
my wife to save me. She doesn't expect me to save her. She understands that she has to put in the work so that she can be better in this relationship. I understand that I need to put in the work and not bring this stuff to her so that I can be better in this relationship. So it creates a culture of self-response or of emotional self-responsibility, right? And so at the core, that's what the strength dating system is. It is a system to where we try to expand and grow holistically by way of psychology, history, and spirituality.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Thank you for that in-depth answer. We have caller 4 in the queue. And caller, could you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
How are you doing, Mo Garvin? And how are you doing, Terrence?
How are you doing, Antonia?
Okay.
Yes, it is.
How are
yes.
you?
Oh, okay, you and both of you. You know, I have to admit, I was enjoying your show, but something caught my ear about the word, I believe, associated with anger, which was forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds as though you're implying, you know, between the two of you, when you bounced back with that information back and forth, you were implying that the forgiveness of another person or persons can sometimes make you healthier. Is that the direction you were going?
Actually, forgiveness is for yourself. It's not to forgive or let go of anything with the other person. The forgiveness is so that you don't develop disease or things within your own body. You have to learn to let things go. But that doesn't mean that
right.
you forget what the person has done. There's a difference.
Okay.
Very good, Mo.
Well, that's what I'll get you. I'll go ahead, please. Well,
I've been
thank
there.
You for covering that.
Thank you so much for calling.
Me.
When is your show?
It may be July the 11th if all goes well. And if so, you know, everyone knows it's a Monday night. Who has been there and who has not been there, you know, it'll be 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So
okay.
look forward to, you know, maybe hearing from you. But meanwhile, you all, you know, you all did a great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Back to questions, Terrence. You ready?
Uh-oh. Not really.
What are your okay, yes you are. What are your thoughts on white privilege, spirituality, and racism?
That's a lot.
Personally, yeah, I know. Personally, I've only seen one church stand up on a topic of white privilege, and that's the Unitarian Church. They have classes on topics and they actually study themselves and want inclusion. It's also the only church I've seen a Black Lives Matter sign posted on the outside. When I go to work out in Philadelphia, they stand outside with signs telling people that they're working on themselves, and they're taking racism from in their worldview. So I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
You know, I appreciate you bringing up the Unitarians because their whole philosophy to me is impressive. At least they try to incorporate all the different religions into their services and everything. And yes, indeed, their work on trying to eradicate white privilege and deal with racism is phenomenal. It is definitely impressive. But when I think about white privilege and racism, to me, they're the same side of the same coin, if you will. It's a belief in lack. You know, at the basis of it is fear. And
mm-hmm.
It's unfounded. Usually, it's taught, but it's an unfounded fear that there isn't enough, that they're going to be left out, and all this fear that goes on. And it's not true, but it's what they've been taught, and they've accepted it as true. It's a belief that's been accepted,
mm-hmm.
and so you know, it's the same thing for them. It's just like other groups who feel that they're inferior, and then there are groups who feel that they're superior. And both are wrong. because, you know, when we all acknowledge that we're all one, we all here for the same purpose, then that eradicates that perspective. That perspective, you know, it dwells less in our hearts and minds. So when I think about all of that stuff and white privilege, I think your question is what are my thoughts on white privilege and racism and spirituality. Again, we are all here for the same reasons. We all come down here with different dramas that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves coming down here in our spacesuits from all different ethnic groups and everything, and each group has its issues and everything. And I pretty much see that as the same things, the same way I see the Native Americans, the same way I see, you know, people from India, Czechoslovakians, what's going on right now with, not the Russians, the Ukrainians.
Ukraine.
It's just the same thing. You know, hopefully we can evolve about it. We all have challenges that we have to figure out to help us move towards healing and wholeness. So it's all the same coin. As we work on our individual stuff, this stuff impacts us less. But on the flip side, I can appreciate when I see people, when I see souls down here trying to evolve, right? And as you talked about the Unitarian Church, you know, I'm encouraged when I see that. You know, when I see what I saw in 2020, when I saw everyone marching against what was going on with the police brutality in this country, and I saw everyone marching against what was wrong, I think pretty much the first time I've ever seen that before, and it went worldwide. That shows
yeah.
that we're heading in that direction. I'm encouraged by that.
Right.
You know, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by those acts because they say that there's a shift taking place, and we're moving more towards spirit and understanding that we're all one. That when you put down and hurt one of us, you're hurting all of us. You know what I'm saying? And so I appreciate evolved beings, no matter what spacesuit that they're wearing. I really appreciate them. They give me hope. So that's how I see those. That's my issue on that.
Thanks for sharing. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Thank you.
is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we have an interview with Tara Strength, Unplugged. Tonight we're talking about multiple topics from spirituality to violence in America. My next question for you, Tara, is what are your thoughts on post-traumatic slave syndrome?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I personally think this book is a must-read. Black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. Filipino, everybody. It's the beginning of healing. It's the beginning of the healing process. The book is titled Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. George DeGry. And the problem is that most of us don't read. The average adult in the U.S. reads 12 books a year. And according to Pew Research Center's data tells us that 50% of all American adults read 4 books or fewer. Americans who have college degrees get their hands on 17 books each year, with about 50% of them finishing only 7 books or those a year. So we don't read enough. Believe it or not, the country that reads the most is India.
Well, look at that.
I know.
That's fact.
Statistical fact.
That's fact. No, so you're asking me about the book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
Yeah.
Listen, I agree with you that we don't read as much as we should, because it certainly would move us along where we want to go a lot better and quicker. And it's something that we need to work on, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I will hope that we would do that more, because we need a lot of healing, and we don't see a need to do what we have to do to get it, and so we pay for it. So, you know, again, we can talk about the impact of slavery and the history and how we got there, but at some point, we have to accept responsibility for our healing. And unfortunately, too many of us are not doing that. And that's happening all around the world. You know, that's happening all over. That's happening in other groups also, where that's going on. But when you see a high number in your own group, and when you see a lot of violence rage that has been unchecked, then we have to take a serious look at what's going on, you know, and we just have to do better, and we have to encourage each other to do better. And so those of us who do understand have to get out here and teach and encourage others to do that, and to live that life and to walk that life, to inspire others or incentivize them to see a need to learn something, where they can see that you're a changed person and make that impact on them, that maybe if I go down this path, maybe it will help my life to be a little easier. We have to start being better examples. You have to start being better examples. And so we need to read, and we need to be different and accept that responsibility. So I agree with you. And a lot of that, I feel, a lot of that comes from reading and healing ourselves. Because we all know hurt people create hurt people, right? Well, do healed people create wounded people?
Exactly.
That's the concept of that, right? Will healed people create more healed people? So we all got to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, right, an honest question in the mirror. What are my contributions to my group? What am I doing to help to reverse these trends? What am I personally doing? Am I living a life to inspire others to see a need to learn more or evolve more? That's a personal question that we have to ask. You know, and I would like to believe that many of us are on that, you know, on that fence, to where maybe we're ready to make that move. We have husbands, wives, children, right, who are watching us. Who are we deciding to be, really? Are we just out here floundering? Don't know what we're about, you know? So I agree with you, Mo. There needs to be more reading done.
Yeah. We have caller 5 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Oh, hi. There's noise in my background. Hey, everybody. I'm show, Mo. This is Jay. I'm really enjoying tonight, and the show is really awesome, and the conversation is just great. Relationships and everything all talked about tonight. I am just listening and enjoying the music by DJ Olaf. He's playing my favorite from back in the day, Earth, Wind, Fire, and loving the show and the music. So just continue on. I'm going to continue listening.
Thank you so much for calling in, Gentilla. When is your show again?
Oh, yes. Midnight, Sunday at 9:30. Forum is the name of the show. And this Sunday is going to be News Forum Father's 18th special. Definitely tune in. We're going to be honoring some wonderful women that are on the front line with things that they're doing and bringing awareness, fighting against injustices and all of that stuff. And it's going to be an awesome show. Hey, tune in this night.
Thanks for calling in, Chinchilla. We have caller five in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us where you're calling from and who you are?
Peace and blessings.
Sister Fessy.
Hey, my adopted son and my adopted daughter.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm doing fine, and I'm enjoying both of you. And the one thing that I wanted to ask about from both of you, there's an increase of parents abusing their children. It has always been abuse, but now you have parents that are killing their children. Recently, I saw where this Caucasian man, he had a black daughter, and he killed his daughter. Then I saw two other situations where two women both killed their child. Can you say maybe what's causing this? Give some information on the parents that are abusing their children so much and taking their lives.
For me, it's anger. I think it's anger that's just being released. Anger at themselves that they can't digest. Anger turned inward. It's actually anger turned outward because they can't release it. So they're disconnecting from God. They're disconnecting from anything spiritual, and they are taking it out on the children.
Yes. Yes. So, Brother Terrence, what do you think about that situation with the children? We all see that there are children being killed in the community by shootings and teenagers. But the thing with the babies where they're attacking the babies now. So what do you think about that, Terrence?
Well, so the way I look at a lot of this stuff, Sister Bessie, is contract that we make before we come back here. Spiritually, mm-hmm. for a lot of these children, they made the contract. They wasn't going to be here that long. They weren't going to be here. Either they were paying back karmic debt or whatever. There are all types mm-hmm. of scenarios on the other side. Now, when we look at it physically, what's going on in our communities, again, you've heard me talk about at length why we're in the situation that we're in. Psychologically and spiritually. I believe that if we're going to turn things around, we must embrace spirituality in order to do it. And it starts a person at a time. To me, it's just a byproduct of us not doing the work that we are experiencing these things in our community. They happen all over the world. I mean, we have killing in other communities, white communities, all types of communities that happen in this country alone, which was brought up on violence, right? I mean, that's how we got independence. It was by being violent, right? So now we have to bear the brunt of that, right? We use it to get our independence. Now we have to manage it, right? So guns were the things we used to get our independence and freedom, and now these same guns are being turned on us, right? So that's a nationwide issue that we have over here. And then it gets worse in these communities that have socioeconomic imbalances and emotional imbalances and everything. So that's going to happen. But, again, just like I said 4 minutes ago, we have to move towards healing. You know, there are going to be casualties. There are always casualties. And they are unnecessary, but they happen.
Yeah.
We have to focus on healing. We have to focus on loving more. You know, because people leave this plane for all types of reasons. You know that, Sister Bessie. On my last show, I talked about NDEs. 66 million leave this earth a year. People, 66 million die a year, I believe, in this country alone. And I'm sure more than that point, right? So that's how it is. So we need to care about all types of ways. We have to protect our children, right? And we do that by trying to evolve more. That's how we protect our children.
Yes, I agree. And we do need more love and respect with each other.
Absolutely.
I'm Sister Bessie the Truther, and my show will be on the 24th of this month. And I'm enjoying you both. I love you both. And thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Paris,
thank you, Sister Bessie.
Paris, I want to piggyback on what you were saying about a contract. A lot of people, I don't want it to go unnoticed. You said it, and I want to make sure that people understand that when you become a soul and you come to this realm, you make a contract when you come here that you're going to do certain things or you're going to go through different things. And some people call it a karmic balance or whatever, but you agree to it. So when you see certain things like an untimely death of a child or someone that gets killed when they're pregnant or something
right.
that just plain makes no sense to you, that soul has more than likely agreed to this before they even got here to learn whatever karmic lesson that they needed to in order to balance out their spiritual growth. So I just want to make sure that was clear. All right.
Thank you.
The next no problem. The next question I have for you is, how can we help ourselves as African Americans? Why do we expect white Americans to help us so much? Personally, I think that we as a group suffer from learned helplessness. Learned helplessness in psychology is a mental state in which an organism, which is us, forced to bear adversive stimuli or stimuli that is painful or otherwise unpleasant, and it becomes so unbearable that we're unwilling to avoid the subsequent encounters with that stimulation, even if we are able to escape from that stimulation. They did a study on dogs to show learned helplessness. And what they did was every time the dog would reach for his food, they would shock the dog. So the dog actually learned to be helpless, and he didn't even go for the food. When they removed everything from him and he was no longer going to be shocked, he just was like, no, never mind, I just won't eat. And he almost starved to death. So, you know, learned helplessness is a real condition. So what are your thoughts on that?
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, not everybody in the black community is struggling in this. Now, we have some very successful black people, obviously, in this world to make a lot of money. But we haven't – but those that do and those that don't, there tends to be a big divide, unfortunately. And we don't see that put into the communities that can help uplift those at a clip that it should be, right? Because it could always be. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that there aren't people that help. There are many great people that are doing a lot of things, but it needs to be at a more impactful clip. That's all I'm saying. And I think, to your question, how can we help ourselves as African Americans, and why do we expect white Americans to help us so much? One thing we have to understand that, you know, traditionally due to the effects of post-traumatic slave syndrome, you know, unfortunately, a lot of African Americans, and I'm speaking generally, we've had an adult-child relationship with white folk here in this country due to the effects of slavery and racism and everything. We've had an adult-child relationship, And because as a community and as a group, we haven't moved towards counseling and things like that to help us to heal, it has exacerbated that issue, which manifests in extreme acts of rage, such as random shootings, you know, poor health, not taking care of ourselves, you know, lower wages, lower money, you know, not motivated, like all these things that people see and just shake their heads. That is all a byproduct of depression and rage.
Right.
And so, like, as we've been saying all night, you know, as we move towards healing, it will begin to reverse these trends. And we must see a need to move in that regard so that we can reverse these trends. You know, and that's why I made the comment that can healed people help other people to heal? We have to be better examples or ambassadors of this. And that has not been happening at a clip that it needs to be happening at. You know, so we expect them to bail us out. They're not going to bail you out. Like, why? You know, they're not going to do that. They don't even see a need to do that. It doesn't work that way. You know, and you have many great people that try to help and do all they can, but ultimately we have to push that agenda. And because we're so, a lot, many of us are so unhealthy, you know, it's just dragging at a slow clip. So we gotta do better with that, family. We gotta do better. You know, we expect a lot of things from other people that we don't expect of ourselves. And it's not the way to move, and that's not how it works down here. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's not how it's all about intention. So that's my two cents on that, Mo. I hope I answered that. I mean, you really give me some tough questions tonight, Mo. Thanks.
You act like we don't have these conversations.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
I
like killing brother.
I have one question left. I have what are your thoughts on the rampant gun violence we're facing here in America?
It's a manifestation of who we've been historically, and now we're gonna there's a shift taking place, and we're gonna have to learn another way to get along. You know, everyone is packing, and we believe it's our rights and all. Okay, so now we're suffering the consequences of that perspective, that we live in fear, and we need weapons to get along. We don't need weapons to get along. We need to accept each other more. So, but many of us don't want to do that, and we use these weapons to help manage that, and that's why we're having a lot of this stuff. Now, for a lot of these kids, you know, they want to go spray schools and churches and things in order to get attention. And once again, dysfunctional families, you know, where are the parents? Why aren't you aware of what your kids are thinking? So, again, it's all a byproduct of all of the stuff that we've been talking about tonight. You know, that being said, these days are much better than it used to be. It was way, way worse. I feel overall as a country we're moving in that direction, and we'll continue to move in that direction. But, yeah, we still have a lot of violence in this country, you know, due to our history. Due to our history, and many of us don't want to change. We want to still hang on to that belief that, you know, there's not enough. You know, that whole belief of scarcity, that I'm going to be diminished or whatever. And none of it is true, but because we believe it, you know, we're all packing. So the kids see us packing, and then we're not there for them, so there you have it. You put a weapon in the hand of those who are irresponsible and are too immature to understand what they're doing and learning how to value life, then this is what happens. We got to do better.
Agreed. Yeah, we do. We really do. We have to
do better,
Mom. Yes, we do. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. Terrence, are you there?
I'm here, Mo.
All right. I want to know, do you have any final remarks?
I really enjoyed this interview. It's been a lot of fun. You've raised some very important questions, and I just want to thank you for having me on here to share my perspective. And everybody hears me once a month like they hear you once a month. I don't need to go on about that, but I really enjoy this was a lot of fun on your show, and I really enjoy sharing with the listening world the banter that you and I have often.
Okay. I'll be back with you on July 15th. And right now we're going back to Ngozi time.
Well, first of all, I'm going to thank all of the folks that counted on Robbie to be part of what we do on a constant basis. This was a great, great, outstanding show tonight. And I really enjoyed it. Just the dialogue, you know. And, of course, this is what happens. Congratulations to Mo Garman on her fourth WBNN All-Time Connection record. So wonderful. And it was outstanding to boot. Tomorrow night, we're not on. Okay, how about that? We don't do any shows on Saturday. But, of course, we have our commissioner with my Ngozi time. Commissioner? All right, commissioner, are you there? All right, we got a little delay there, but that's okay. We keep on pushing. And what more can we say? That we're welcoming all the folks out there listening on a constant basis. We thank you so much. What you do for us, you know what I mean? The growth of our network has just been, you know, astounding. And what more can we do? But WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are at Pinterest and Twitter and Instagram at Ngozi_time. And also, Ola Dele Malay Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or whatever program tonight? Ola Dele. That goes to my@gmail.com. I am. You're my ready to follow, say it, but do so. Ola Dele Malay Ngozi, say goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio supporters on the constant basis tonight. And I want to say, I'm really very happy with my commissioner. You know, she's trying to be diligent. You know, she has family time, but she still trying to call in and do, you know, her due diligence and her best. And I love her so much, and she'll be on with News Forum on Sunday at 9:30 Eastern. And she got a lot to talk about. And now back to the wonderful, now standing, Mo Garman. Congratulations.
Thank you, Brother O. It's a really an honor. I will be back on July 15th. Until then, I'll leave you with a quote from Maya Angelou. Hate, it has caused a lot of problems in this world, but it has not solved one yet. Take care and have a good night.